Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Few things before we get started. Number one, I am actually hard of hearing today. So people on this side, you can make whatever noises you want. Probably can't hear you. I've had that kind of week. Some of you noticed earlier I had on those little splints. Since the last time you've seen me, I've broken two fingers. I've gone partially deaf, temporarily deaf in this ear. Had a bad experience at a shooting range, and I was so focused on my hand that I wasn't paying attention to making sure my ears were secure. And if that wasn't bad enough, on the way home yesterday, I get a distress call. My wife calls and says, hey, something's wrong with the car. It's just clicking and making noises. Can't you hear it? I'm like, no, actually, I can't. What do you mean you can't hear it? I said, you know what? Never mind. Just stop. Just pull over and tell me where you are. Huh? Look, you know what? Wait, I'll text you. And I generally just don't like text, but text was required. And then as I'm going and I'm thinking I'm racing to go pick up my wife and rescue her and the kids, my car, just coming down Highway 1, just stopped accelerating. And I pull over, naturally, it would only happen right where there's construction. So there's like no room. So I have to weave in between some barrels, call AAA. And then Will, our neighbor here, he's working on the other car. So I got three cars down, right? And it's hot. I can't hear anything. I can't even defend myself if something happens, you know? So when I tell you that I'm grateful to be here today, I am grateful to be here today. It was funny because last week I was kind of jealous. Young lady, she posted on Facebook, she's so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thinking, man, I wish I could have been there too because I was somewhere else. But I say all that to say that there is a slight, if I sound funny, I said this earlier, if I'm talking too loud, bear with me this week. My wife texted me and said, she texted me like I'm going to do it while I'm leading songs. She texted me and said, speed up. So I'm thinking, I don't even know what I sound like, right? But I'm so grateful to be here. And what I want to look at today is continuing talking about the presence of God is we've been peeling back the layers on this thing and really understanding what it means to be in the presence of God, what it means for us to pay attention and be able to almost absorb and take in no matter what's going on. How do we stay in that constant state? And I want to look at a couple things because oftentimes the difficulty, one of the difficulties that we have when it comes to being in the presence of God is not necessarily knowing whether or not God is in our lives and whether he's moving. But oftentimes, what do you do? How do you respond when you know that God, when you become reminded, you become aware of God doing something, how do you respond to it? Because oftentimes we forget that a response is required. God wants us to respond in different ways. And so the title of the sermon today is, that's what they all say. That's what they all say. Now, I got this because I was thinking about, I remember a guy, he was saying, this is in church, right? Big church in Louisville, my wife and I visited. He was saying, he basically told all of his members of his church, I need you to stop playing the lottery. Stop trying to win the Mega Millions. Stop trying to get all this money. Because everybody always says, oh, man, if I get that jackpot, oh, I'm going to make sure that, you know, Miss Shanita has everything she wants, and I'm going to make sure to, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to call up Mike and Sharon, and, oh, I'm going to give you this and give you that. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, no. You're going to win the lottery, and that's what they all say. I'm going to win the lottery, and I'm going to give everybody all this stuff, right? And there's been movies that talk about this, because everybody wants to come out of their circumstance. That's why they always want to win the lottery. They always want to come into some type of riches. And when you think about, well, what would you do with the money if you had it? Because sometimes that's the question we have to ask ourselves is, when God is present and he's revealing himself to you, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that presence? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? How are you going to respond when God shows up? I want to start looking in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11, read through 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" And I put there in parentheses "whole" because a lot of translations, they'll say "made you whole." Now you think about this, there's a couple of things we want to look at. First, it points out that he's walking through this region, this area. Really, it's just a border. And basically, right there between Galilee and Samaria, the Samaritans knew not to cross over to the other side because that wasn't their place. That wasn't where they were supposed to be. Over in Galilee, it was the same thing. There are several passages that talk about how Jesus, as he traveled, it was a big deal. It was kind of controversial almost for him to be walking through portions that were Samaritan territories, right? And what we see here is that Jesus, is as he's walking through this kind of border zone, this territory, these lepers do what they're told to do. Now, it was interesting. Joseph, who was from India, he was here last year, and he spoke. One of the focuses I was so fascinated and grateful that he was able to share with us, what he does over in India, a big portion of his ministry is working with lepers, people with those skin diseases. And one of the things he pointed out was that the lepers weren't just an eyesore because they had the deformities or the skin problems. And it's important to point out, when they put leprosy here, that's kind of a broad spectrum way of saying skin disease. It did not necessarily mean they had the exact disease of leprosy. The point was this, though, and I remember Joseph telling me this, and this is something that honestly, until he told me about this, I never even understood this. The reason why lepers, certain people who were good people and they were priests and they were those who knew what it meant to be gracious and kind, the reason why they didn't let lepers in their presence wasn't because of how they looked or their appearance or even those who were terrified that it was contagious because they didn't know that you couldn't catch it, but it was because of how bad they smelled. So the reason why you would stand so far away is because you smelled bad. You were not included in society. You're not allowed, they wouldn't let you come in this room because immediately, within a matter of seconds, it would smell really bad. And people would start getting sick, even nauseous, throwing up. And we see this situation here where these people, from a distance, they know, they recognize, here's the Messiah, here's the Son of Man coming. Master, have pity on us, have mercy on us, help us out. They knew their condition. But more so than just their physical condition, they understood what their condition meant to them. Their condition meant they weren't accepted. They had nowhere to go. They had no home. They had no, even their families, mothers and fathers and brothers, they couldn't associate with them any more than they could associate with anybody else. They were literally outcast. And so they're saying, do something so that we can change our situation and be accepted. Do something so that we can be around other people, be like everybody else. And without touching them, without doing any magnificent presto change, like somebody joked earlier today, ta-da, there was no ta-da. He just said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Go back and show the people who don't have faith in me, that doubt me, go show yourselves to them. And along the way, they were cleansed. It points out this one person, and a lot of times it's easy to be really critical and dog the other nine who kept on their way and did exactly what they were told. But when you look at the one who came back, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, but he was a foreigner. He was also a Samaritan. One of the things that stands out about this is that sometimes we can do this thing with God as well, where it's like we can tell everybody about God. We can spread the gospel. We can share our faith. We can go verse by verse, line by line. But how do we talk to God when we're just praying, when we're in our home privately? It's an issue of intimacy here, where when you think about being in the presence of God, sometimes it's easy to tell everybody else, but it's hard to tell that one person. I had that pointed out to me one time where I was being told that emotionally I was selfish. And I was thinking, how are you emotionally selfish, right? And what they were saying was, you can tell anybody and every, you can stand up in front of thousands of people and talk to crowds and never be shaken and proclaim just how great your mother is or your father is or your wife or somebody. But do you tell them that you love them? Do you tell them that you appreciate them? What is your worship and your experience with God like? Because so often we can get caught up on what we have to do and doing like they did. They did the right thing. Yes, you're supposed to go tell people about the wonderful things that God is doing in your life, but what are you telling God? Are you coming back to tell God? Are you coming back and making sure that you're praising him? Our true heart is revealed by who we're most excited to share our intimacy and passion with. Sometimes it's almost like it's not even a blessing unless we can go tell somebody. And it's like, did you fall on your knees? Did you praise him for the blessing first? Did you acknowledge him in all that you do? Or was it more important to be accepted? Because to be real, as a leper, if you've been ostracized all this time, your excitement is that, hey, look, priest. See, the idea was to go to the priest and they will officially recognize that you're clean and you're allowed back into society. See, sometimes what matters to us most is being accepted here, accepted in our society, and we forget that God knows the heart. He wants you to come to him. Are you willing to go to God first? Another thing, and this matters to me especially after yesterday because I actually needed a mechanic. First of all, I couldn't have done anything with the car anyway, where it was, because it was just cars coming by. It always seems like you notice the bad drivers even more when you're standing out on the side of the road. And I was kind of convicted because I'm like, I've been that guy. Where it's like, oh, I'm fine. They'll be all right. It's just a little wind. It'll just blow them off, you know. The thing is, I'm sitting there, and I needed a mechanic. And one of the things that occurred to me was how often a service mechanic or a doctor, like, you know, I went to the doctor, got the x-rays. Like, it's a very transactional relationship. So it's like, hey, I paid you. I paid my copay. Give me some splints or do something with my finger. Or I paid my AAA membership, so just come get it, you know. I was thinking about the roof and how they did the roof. I was talking to the winners about their roof. And it's like, look, I paid a lot of money for this roof. All right, you done? Be gone. Like, it's very transactional. And sometimes we forget what it is that these people do. They actually care about it, right? They actually want to do a good job. And we can get so caught up in our circumstance, just being grateful that the car is running again, that we can almost forget to say thank you. We can almost forget to acknowledge that God sent that person to come pick you up. God sent that person to diagnose it. But the other little thing that I forgot to mention was my eye. Okay, I'm minding my business, and I wake up in the morning, and my eye was just a little bit red. And I said, no, it's not supposed to look like that. So I went to the doctor again, and they were like, weren't you just here? I'm like, yes, it was about 5 days ago. Is your finger hurting? Yes, but that's not why I'm here. It's my eye. Like, I just want my eye fixed. You know, I just want my things fixed. We go to God and we pray, God, take this thing away. Fix this. Make this thing happen. But I go back to the original question, what will you do with it if he does deliver you from that thing? Are you going to do what you need to do with it? Let's look. This isn't the guy, but this is AAA, and I was super happy to see them yesterday. Let's look in Psalm chapter 66, verse 1 through 12, starting in 1, it says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. You went through fire. We went through fire and water, but you brought us up to a place of abundance. You notice those last few verses there. You think, how is it that God is doing something on my behalf, doing me a favor by placing a burden on me? How is it that he is helping me and benefiting me? What is he doing for me? How is that a blessing that he let people ride over our heads? See, oftentimes we fail to realize that it's recognition when God is there. Even when it may not seem like it's a good thing, we have to recognize his presence. We have to recognize what it is he's doing and why he's doing it. We have to ask ourselves, just like those lepers who ran off and went to tell everybody, and go, they were in a hurry to show themselves to the priest so that they could be accepted again, what will we do when God does deliver us? When we see this verse here in Psalm, we see that God had constantly, over and over and over again, he has shown his might, his power, his willingness to preserve, his willingness to save, his willingness to move in your life. But what are you going to do with it? What exactly is it that you're going to do when it happens? See, a lot of times we focus so much on that burden that we forget who lifted the burden and why he lifted the burden. The reason why the burden was there in the first place is to help you to recognize and appreciate and grow. It's like me. I'm literally the walking wounded up here. It hurts. But the fact is, the experience is not one that I should look and think, well, God, deliver me, heal my hand, heal my ear, heal my back. Make me prosperous, give me money, give me food, give me these things, because then what? What will you then do? Will you go find acceptance? Will you make sure to show everybody here in the church, so, hey, everything's looking good. Look what God did. But forget to praise him. But forget to fall on your knees and ask God. We want so many things. We want God to deliver so many things. And you know what? He's good for it. He's going to come through. I want God to work and help me do something to save my parents, save my child, save my spouse, save some. I want you to work with me so that I can have to be able to provide so that my kids can have an education or so that I can retire or whatever it is. We want these things, but are you going to glorify God with the things that he gives you, including your own life? Now, there's a lady, her name is Fannie Lou Hamer. She is a famous African-American lady who civil rights, and she had a lot of quotes that I found funny but were very inspiring. I studied her back in college. One of them is, I feel sorry for anybody that could let hate wrap them up. Ain't no such thing as I can hate anybody and hope to see God's face. She's talking about the face of Jim Crow and oppression back during the 50s and the 60s. Another one is, nobody's free until everybody's free. You know, very inclusive in the understanding that it's not just about me, it's about everybody. But the one that I really wanted to focus on is, never to forget where we came from and always praise the bridges that carried us over. Sometimes we cross over the bridges, we get to the other side, and we forget the bridge and the people that built it, the people that actually laid down so that you could get to that place. Because we're so caught up in wanting to make sure that others know, we may even have a good motive for it, but we forget to go back and praise God. And for that matter, say thank you and praise and show appreciation to those people that God sent to make it possible for you to get to that place that you're trying to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting verse 6 here. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have provided yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, whenever we do giving, like we did a few minutes ago, this is the verse, at least part of, there's one part of it that we put up there about giving and being, you know, giving what's already in your heart to give, not giving out of compulsion. But when you read the full context of this, we see this, how when God is blessing you, when God is providing for you, when he's waking you up, when he's making sure that you have food, when he's making sure that you have everything that you need, his presence is there. We understand that, but sometimes we forget that that is directly tied to our faith. If we know that everything comes from God, we know that he provides, we know that even the struggles and hardships that we face, even those things are done at the direction of God himself. We know that his presence is always there. So then what we see in this passage, even though it's talking specifically about giving, talking about giving generously, a person who doesn't give generously, a person who doesn't give with a heart of being blessed, won't be so generous. A person who doesn't give with the attitude of, I know that it's not mine anyway. I know that even if I give this, I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me the next day. I don't have to be concerned about what's going to, because I know that God is going to protect me. He's going to provide for me. And yet, oftentimes, our personal giving will reflect our true heart when it comes to gratitude. Your own personal giving. How much do you give? And I'm not just talking about the collection plate that comes around when we do giving, although that is a reflection of our giving. You know, it's like everybody in here is anonymous, so there's no way for me to know, well, you know, I know what Linda gave, and this Linda over here, not this one, I don't know what she gave, right? There's no way for us to know that. It's a heart issue, but it is reflected, it's a reflection, rather, of, are you grateful? Do you recognize the blessings that you have? Do you recognize that, and I love what Lee shared earlier when she was talking about the fact that I have a family here. What those lepers got back was a presence in society. They were no longer ostracized or lonely. They were amongst other people. They were in society. Does our giving reflect that? And again, it's not just what we give when the plate goes around. Do you give to one another in a way that shows that you have faith that God's going to provide, that he's going to bless you? Do you actually believe it, or you just know it's the right thing to say because you've read it over and over again? You know the right verse. You know the correct thing to say. That's right. Tell them. You know the right thing to say. You understand that, well, I don't really want to say that the only reason I'm willing to give a few dollars is because I'm kind of scared about my bills. Well, what are you afraid of if the creator of all things has been blessing you all along the way and he has your back? Well, you know, I want to help this person out. I want to, maybe I'll give him a ride. Maybe I'll, you know, loan him a few dollars. Maybe I'll help them out around the house and do something, but I want to invest my time here in this thing that I've been planning and wanting to do. Well, what does that really say about your faith in God? Another way of looking at it is, how does that make you any different than those 9 lepers? Because we know, just like if you say that you love me and you care about me, you can't then ignore my children. You can't mistreat my children. That's not loving me. What does it say? How can you love a God who you can't see if you can't love your brother who you can see? And so when we think about how God intervenes in our lives and blesses us, we have to ask ourselves, is my true faith reflected in how I then give back? How I then give back to the poor and the needy and those around me in my community, my coworkers? How do I give? How do I share the blessings that God has given me? Happy birthday. Sharice has a birthday coming up Wednesday. And much like I did a couple months, or was it last month, I will forget things. I will forget things. So I'm not just putting this up there because it's my wife's birthday. This is so that everybody can text me and call me on Tuesday so that I can remember to go out and get what I need to get for my wife. She's here. She knows I forget. And the sad part is I remember everything but this, right? So it's her birthday coming up on Wednesday. May is always big birthday month because Sharice and Kendall have a birthday in May. But one of the things that, the reason why I bring this up is because birthdays, frankly, in my family just didn't matter a whole lot. And what I learned from Sharice, and this was many years ago, was birthdays just didn't plan very well for them. I didn't put much effort and energy into them. It wasn't particularly special. And one day, take her out to eat, and she's just sitting there looking all pitiful and sad. And I'm thinking, this is a nice restaurant. What's wrong with you, you know? Like, you know, I told you, get whatever you want on the menu, you know? The fact of the matter was that I spent all day doing tons of other things, and then I got around to her. Yeah, you can all, whatever. I heard that. I know you're on this side, but I heard it. The thing is, what I learned from that was this was a special thing for her. It mattered to her. Oftentimes we forget it matters to God that we go back and say thank you. It matters to God that we say to the person who God sent, thank you. I appreciate you. Yeah, I'm going to tell everybody because my wife is beautiful. She's smart. She's wonderful. She's all these things. But how I treat her, she'll tell you if I came up short on Wednesday, if I didn't do right, she'll tell you. But the thing is, I'm not going to. Not anymore. There's consequences for that. More importantly, I told her, I said, I don't ever want you to feel this way about your birthday ever again. As long as I can help, I don't want you to feel that way. Do we have that same attitude towards God? Do we have that same attitude towards God's people? I don't ever want you to feel like I don't appreciate the way in which you are working in my life, the way in which God is intervening through you in my life. Do we show that level of gratitude and appreciation? Final passage here, Matthew 26, starting in verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, not to be confused with a leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What we see here that Jesus is pointing out is that oftentimes we want to quantify and qualify and measure everything instead of just giving the appropriate praise, instead of just giving the appropriate gratitude. We think, well, we don't want to do too much, right? We don't want to make them feel too special, or we don't want them to, you know, have an elevated sense of themselves, instead of just letting them know how much what they did meant to you. We see this also because if you were to continue on, we don't have time, but as it goes on, Judas was so upset. This was the tipping point for him to say, you know what? This Jesus, this Messiah, this guy I've been following all this time, I don't trust and believe in what he's doing. And so he goes to the betrayer. He goes to those and says, I'm going to help you take Jesus in. See, that is a reflection of a heart. He had been with Jesus all this time. He loved him, but he didn't truly have faith in him. He didn't truly have a faith that says, I'm going to have a faith that reflects what I believe and what I've seen and all he's done. Because we can be just like Judas, where we've seen all the many blessings and miracles and amazing things that God has done in our life, and then turn around and forget, all because maybe it just felt like it was too much. Maybe it feels like this person is asking for me to give them a little too much. Maybe I'm having to do just a little bit too much. That perfume, you think he was right. You can always get more perfume, just like you're always going to have more poor people. But are you always going to have an opportunity to show gratitude? Do we worship like those marginalized people who are ostracized and don't have a family, don't have a place to go, have been given something great, we've been blessed with something amazing? Or do we worship like people who belong? Do we worship like the Pharisees, where we're supposed to be here? Do we worship like people who are grateful to be in the house of the Lord? We're grateful to be with our brothers and sisters. Or do we worship God like they're supposed to do this for me? I'm supposed to have this. A sense of entitlement almost. What we see, this woman, she said, I don't care. I'll get more perfume. But I'm not so entitled that I'm not willing to praise him. A few questions as we finish up. Do I remember my empty life without Christ? How often do I praise him for making me acceptable again? Sometimes we forget that we were those lepers who were not acceptable. There is no acceptance. We have sinned. We have not broken down that barrier of sin that brings us in proximity and in relationship to God. Do we remember being empty and lonely and without hope and without the peace that comes with knowing that I'm forgiven? Do we remember that? Do we remember what made us acceptable in God's eyes? How different would my life be if God does give me the relief from my struggles that I'm asking for? Am I any different since the last time he delivered me? It's an important part of that is to understand that he's been blessing you this whole time. How different are you now than you were the last time God showed up and gave you the blessing that you asked for? Because, you know, we all say, oh, well, you know, if you just give me this one thing, and then he gives you the one thing, and then the next time, oh, well, if you just give me this next thing, and before you know it, God kept on giving, but you haven't changed. So what's going to change? How are you going to change based on the gratitude that you have for God's presence in your life? Is my value and self-worth more impacted by the people accepting me or God accepting me? Is my faith a reflection of one who has been saved or one who has been justified? You know, they went back to the priest because they wanted to be justified. They wanted to be accepted in society. But there's a difference between understanding that you can be accepted and actually being saved. The word that originally comes from when he said, do you want to be, when he said, you've been made whole, you know, you've been made well, is actually sozo. It talks about salvation, basically being in a safe place. In a safe place. Do we value being in a safe place, or do we just want to be where other people know our name? And finally, who is the first person I tell when I see God doing something in my life? When do I finally make it back to thanking him? Who's the first person you call? You know, maybe not even the first person you call. When something amazing happens, we're going to talk about the amazing next week, but when something amazing happens and you see God working, the correct response is to fall down on your knees and praise him, to worship him, to thank him. But is that the first response we have? Or do we want to go tell somebody? And even when we're telling them, are we doing it out of validation? Or are we doing it because we're just overwhelmed by what God did? It's important that we understand this when we think about it, especially those who maybe you're seeing God work in your life, but you're hesitant. Or maybe you're not seeing God in your life, very clearly, and you're doubting whether or not God is actually moving, the question is not, can God do it? And for that matter, if he's going to do it, many times is, what are you going to do with it when he does? What did you do with the last blessing he gave you? Because ultimately, it's a reflection of our true faith. It's a reflection of our hearts, whether or not we're willing to say, you know what? I know who this God is. I know how he's working in me, and I'm going to go do something with it. I'm going to praise him with it. I'm going to bow down and worship him with it. Do we do that? Do you have a relationship with God that causes that response? Do you know who that God is? Do you recognize the blessings, and yet you have not gone and said, I'm willing to give my life to you? It's amazing to think that somebody could restore you to the rest of all society, but you won't even accept him. Are you in need today of accepting him? Of coming to him and saying, I want to be one of yours. I want to be your child. I want you to give me forgiveness. I want to know what it means to have a relationship with you. I want to be baptized. I want to live my life for you. Are you in that place today? What's stopping you? What's holding you back? What's keeping you so reserved that you're not willing to do that for God? If you're in that place today, I invite you to come forward, and as we stand and sing our song of invitation.